is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Welcome to The Gardening Show on WESB. Dan Griffin here for Ann Holiday. And Bob Harris, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, and good morning, Dan.
The storm didn't blow you away.
No.
That's good.
Boy, a lot of trees aren't happy this week, though.
Yeah, it's kind of sad to see. There'll probably be a lot of questions about tree damage and what to do.
Vegetation all over the street. There's debris everywhere. It's really incredible what happened in just a couple of minutes.
It is indeed, yes.
So 368-9372, 368-WESB, if you have a question for Bob. And we'll check our inbox here, too, at garden@WESB.com. And Facebook Live is going as well. So join us on the Facebook, and, hey, we'll be all ready to go for the gardening show.
First, I'd like to mention, I want to keep this momentum of gardening going. And so here's a good opportunity for a lot of folks with the Master Gardener course.
Mm.
It's now held all online. So you don't have to even leave your house. The new classes will begin in October. You can look it up. It's a long drawn out site there, but just go to Penn State Master Gardener on your computer, and you should be able to find it. Or else call the Penn State Extension office in Smithport, and that number is 887-5613, and maybe they'll have you use the extension 208. But a lot of information will come out of there, and a lot of activities. Some of the things that we have been doing here lately is we have a comb center out in Smithport, a 45-acre farm, where we have raised vegetable beds, which so far we've picked off 240 pounds of vegetables there. And we're developing trails. We're developing a meadow and a pollination area. We also have a bee yard out there, and several other things going on that can be of interest to a lot of people.
A bee yard?
Yeah, a bee yard. We have a fenced-in, electric fenced-in beehive, but it has a glass side to it so you can view the bees easily.
I was going
to
say, what, are we going to frolic in the swarm of bees? That doesn't sound like a good time to me.
Yeah, I've been out there a few times, and the bees seem very friendly. I know there's been some posts, you know, around that the bees all seem nasty this year, but that particular hive seems to be a very friendly hive.
Okay. Friendly hive.
Yeah, friendly hive.
Good.
Some of the other things that we get involved with, the Cook Farm Garden we're going to be working with this year. And in Kane, it's a Sybil Kane Memory Garden. And this is really a fascinating thing. I guess a lot of people really don't know about it, even that are in Kane. That, you know, Colonel Kane's one that started Kane.
Hmm.
And this is his granddaughter. She got a nice big piece of property and started developing gardens there and built a home there. And the Master Gardeners in Kane have all taken that project on to restore it and make it a memory garden for the home that's over there. I forget the name of the home. So they'll be able to walk right from the home over to the gardens, and hopefully some of them old gardens and plants and so on will help bring back memories and be a great thing for the people. So that's what's going on with Master Gardeners. You know, it's well worth it to give the Penn State Extension office in Smithport a call.
And what's the date of this?
It'll be around the 1st of October. It's going to start. We've had several classes this year, but the next one starts in October. And like I say, again, all online, so you can do it the comfort of your home. You'll have some of the biggest experts in the area, you know, teaching the classes. It's well worth it. I've gone to several of them.
You?
Yeah. And
wait a minute. The Master Gardener is going to classes.
Yeah, you know, you can always learn more. It's amazing. I've been doing this since 1992, and every year I learn something more. It's just amazing.
Well, we have our phone lines open, 368-WESB, 814-368-9372. If there's something on your mind, any questions? And actually, Bob, I had a question.
Okay.
For the first time, we had raised beds.
Okay.
This year. And just recently, I think within the last 2 weeks or so, our cucumber plants really have been the only ones that are really kind of suffering. They started getting spots on. My wife suspects it's mold, but I don't know. I wanted to show you a picture if I could and see what you think. And I'll show, I'll try to show our listeners or our viewers on Facebook Live as well. It's really only the cucumber leaves that are affected.
Oh,
all the
okay.
other onions look okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. A lot of brown area and yellow area.
And some of the leaves closer to the ground, it seems, are the most wilted.
Wilted. Okay. Yeah. And that's common this time of year with a lot of the vegetable plants. We've been through a lot of heat and humidity where a lot of the funguses, and that's a fungus, which mold, fungus, whatever you want to call it.
That's what I want, yeah.
Can start to develop. Usually this time of year, we don't worry about it too much because we're getting towards the end of harvesting. And so it's really no big deal.
That's what I was wondering, yeah.
And especially cucumbers, they really don't like a lot of heat. Not like some vegetable plants, like the tomato and pepper. They like, the more heat, the better.
Yeah.
But the cucumber just does not like a lot of heat, and it can cause a fungus to grow. Or even some of the fruit of the cucumber can start to become disformed. They're still going to be fine and edible. No problem at all. It's just the heat has caused a few little glitches in their and their growth.
In their day-to-day.
Yeah.
Some glitches. And the spots on there, you see a little bit of a closer. So that's a fungus.
That's a fungus, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the usual end date of cucumber plants anyway? Is it around this time of year anyhow?
Yeah, normally, yes. It's all going to depend on when you planted them, too. Cucumber, usually right up to harvest, about 65 to 70 days. And then that's about the end of it for them. That's if you planted them, you know, 1st of June. So about now is about the time that they're finishing up. It takes so much energy for a vegetable plant because they got to do it in just a short time.
Yeah.
70, 80 days.
Yeah.
Some. So a lot of energy, and it weakens them tremendously.
Mm.
So then they become real susceptible because their defenses are down. They become susceptible to a lot of the fungal diseases.
Yeah.
Insects can carry that fungus disease from plant to plant. And, of course, then it takes a hold and starts to grow if conditions are right.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been right this year. A lot of people have probably seen that with their tomato plants where the leaves start getting bad from the bottom and just work their way up. Most of the time, it's no big deal. You're almost done with the plant anyhow. So just clear off those nasty-looking leaves so it can't spread more.
Okay.
And enjoy the harvest then.
Very good. Thanks for that. And our phone lines are open if you have a question. 368-WESB. That's 368-9372. And you wanted to mention, well, apples, one of your favorite topics, I know, because you absolutely adore apple trees, I know. I remember
I do.
Years of listening.
Oh.
So what do you have for us today?
Okay, I'm going to talk about Johnny Appleseed.
Oh, okay.
And the apple is real important to America, real important. Johnny Appleseed, he left Longmeadow, Massachusetts in 1797, and he was age 23 years old. And then about 1801... leaving from western Pennsylvania into Ohio and eventually into Indiana, he set out and hollowed out logs down the river. But not like everyone else, instead of towing one canoe or log, hollowed out log behind the other, he lashed the two together side by side. So he caught a lot of attention right away because he was doing it a little different. And he would return to Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, every fall to collect seeds from the cider mills. And that's going to be key, too, that you remember cider. We don't know how many bushels of seed he put in this hollowed-out log, but we do know that each bushel would hold about 300,000 seeds. Some of these seeds, though, came from Europe, like the dandelion and the stinging nettle, and they were important for the apple tree. Those plants, as they grow underneath an apple tree, can help ripen the apples. They give off a certain gas that helps ripen. Now, the other seeds were to become the world's second most popular fruit, the apple seed. It was banana being number one. And Johnny likened himself to a bumblebee. He was a man with no fixed address his entire adult life. And one year his home was a hollowed out sycamore stump just outside of a new town called Defiance, Ohio, where he operated a pair of nurseries. And now this is possible that a man can live in a hollowed out sycamore stump. Back then, in the early 1800s, sycamores, a lot of trees, but sycamores grew mammoth. They might have been 10 foot across, so there was room for a man to set up a little hut inside there. So that's not just a story, but some of his life is a story. And he wanted to get out ahead of the settlers that were moving west, because everybody at that time, you know, hard to believe that Ohio and Indiana were the Wild West at that time. So he wanted to get out ahead of them, just like a real estate man, and set up his operations. And he would plant a nursery on a tract of wilderness he judged ripe for settlement, and he was really good at judging that. And then he would wait for them to come, and when they arrived, he would sell them the plants. And it was important that you buy the plants, because at that time, the government had a land settlement act where if you wanted a tract of land, I forget how many acres, to prove that you were honest about it and the government would give it to you, you had to plant 50 apple trees. And the government knew that by doing that, that meant you were going to be there for quite a while, because it's going to take a few years before those apple trees can produce. And you to care for them. And that way they knew that you were going to remain there for a long time. Because before that time, what a lot of people did was traveled west, found a nice plot of land, farmed it till it wasn't viable anymore because they over-farmed it, mm-hmm. and then just moved on, kept moving on. So leaving a lot of blank areas of soil that was depleted because it was heavily farmed.
So
the government wanted people to move and stay. So for 6.5 cents a piece, he would then hire you could buy these apple seedlings. And he would hire a young boy to look after his plants, and he would move west looking for the next ripe tract of land, keeping ahead of all the settlers. And then by 1830, he had nurseries from Pennsylvania to Ohio and to Indiana. He was a very wealthy man at that time. He died in 1845 in Fort Wayne, Indiana, just outside of it, wearing what they say was just an old coffee sack and a pot on his head. That may be true, may not. I don't know where he would have got a coffee sack back then. he was very successful. Like a real estate developer, he was willing to move his operation out ahead of the settlers and then wait for them to come to him. That's a short story.
So he was basically an entrepreneur. He was.
Yeah.
He didn't absolutely adore an apple. He adored the money that the apples would bring him.
Yeah. Possibly.
That's America, baby.
Yeah.
That's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Possibly he had a good connection to the apple coming from Europe.
Of course, you have to like what you do, right?
Yep.
Come on.
because coming from Europe, there were apple trees there. There wasn't any in America back then. The apple tree is originally from Kazakhstan. So is the tulip, by the way.
Well, how about that?
Because the Silk Route went through that area, people would pick up apples in that area. The forest is amazing there. Apple trees grow anywhere from 60 feet tall on into small ones that won't grow more than a foot tall.
Wow.
But still produce fruit. It's very, very mixed gene pool there.
We're going to have to take a break in just a second here. I just wanted to go back a little bit ago. I'm looking at our comments on Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075. And Rhonda wants to know about the bees. You're talking about the bee yard earlier.
Okay, yeah.
Doesn't the electric fence hurt the bees?
Oh, okay. No. The electric fence is to keep the bears from getting into the bees and robbing the honey.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the bees won't go near it. They can sense the electrical impulses even in the air.
Oh, that's neat. You know, insects and bugs and animals have such neat, built-in apparatus so they can detect things that humans just have no idea.
Exactly.
I remember a couple of weeks ago you were saying about how bees can actually see what flowers have been pollinated because it changes colors that we can't detect. But they can, so they leave those flowers alone.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Eddie has a question here. I have a perennial plant in large pots. He wants to know if he'll make it through the winter in those large pots.
Quite often, yeah, Eddie. I've kept perennials. A lot of people have kept perennials for years in pots. It's a good idea, though, to give them a little more protection. I like to bury my pots right in the vegetable garden for the winter because I'm not using a vegetable garden. Mm-hmm. And that kind of insulates all the way around the pot. What really causes any damage, it's not the freezing. It's the cycle of freeze-thaw, freeze-thaw that destroys the cells. So the vegetable garden usually freezes.
Here, I'll turn the mic off. Go ahead. Give her a good blast.
I got tickly throat.
It's not the corona. Don't worry, folks.
No. It's a lot of the leaf mold in the air.
Absolutely.
So what was I saying, Dan?
You were saying that the freeze-thaw is the thing that really
damages them. So by giving them that protection, that insulation around, by burying them in a vegetable garden or putting some kind of insulation around that pot, that'll protect it from freeze-thaw. They'll freeze, stay frozen, and by staying frozen, they're protected, and they can survive for years in a pot.
Wow, very neat.
Yeah.
Good to know. All right, there you go, Eddie. Hey, if you have a question, you could do the Facebook Live comment like they did, or you can call 368-WESB. Back in 30 seconds right here on The Gardening Show on WESB, B107.5 FM.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. If it's time to seal your driveway, you'll find sealant, brushes, squeegees, everything you need for the job. They have a huge supply of railroad ties for your lawn and garden projects, leaf blowers in gas, battery, and corded electric models, and a brand new line of cordless Makita tools with interchangeable batteries. Your friends at Worth W. Smith hope you're staying safe and remind you to wear a mask, wash your hands, and observe social distancing whenever possible.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show, B107.5 FM. And we do have a phone call here, 368-WESB, and we'll go to your call next. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning. This is David. I want to tell Mr. Harris that I really enjoy his programs.
Thank you.
And he's a lot of good knowledge here. But what I wanted to ask you, now, can you overdo it with Miracle Grow?
On what kind of plant are you talking about, or any plant?
Well, my brother had a tomato plant.
Okay.
And it seems though, I think that he overdid it with Miracle Grow because they turned black or darker color, and they weren't good eating.
Ah. You can overdo it with Miracle Grow or any fertilizer.
Uh-huh.
That usually causes a plant first to just grow, continue in a growth cycle and not flower and not fruit. It's just by over-fertilizing. Another thing that can happen is you can get an overabundance of one, especially Miracle-Gro, that is a mixture of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium and several other elements.
Mm-hmm.
You can get an overabundance of one of those elements because some are not soluble where they won't get washed away or the plant can't use them up so well. So nitrogen is soluble. So every time it rains, a little bit's getting washed away. So it's hard to overdo nitrogen. But the other ones, they can continue to stay in the soil and build up and build up and start to cause some problems. But if he's got blackened tomatoes that are rotting, that's due to other things, not just the fertilizer. And one of the most common problems is not good air circulation around the plants.
Okay.
A tomato plant grows like crazy, produces too much leaves, too much stem. So you have to prune them quite often. You should be able to look right through the plant and see clearly another person on the other side of the plant. If you have too many leaves, then the air can't get through. So the plant remains wet for a long period of time, and there's fungus in the air all the time, and a fungus can land on that wet leaf and then take a hold and start to grow. And, of course, it will eventually end up in the fruit, and, of course, usually at the bottom of the fruit. And so that can cause the problem with some of the tomatoes. So don't be afraid to prune your tomatoes.
Okay. My wife has a beautiful tomato plant. She has a lot of, I feel like you, Calvin, she has a lot of green tomatoes on it in different sizes, and we really like fried green tomatoes.
Oh, great. Yeah, I do too.
But okay, well, thank you very much. And like I say, I appreciate your program. It's really great.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks. Bye. That's always good to hear.
Yeah.
The show impacting people's lives. They count on it. They like to hear it. And if you have a question for Bob, of course, the phone lines are always open to you. 368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. Or make a comment on our Facebook Live video. You have some more about Johnny Appleseed or apples in general today?
I do, but I got to touch a little bit more on that tomato because this guy...
Well, we have another phone call, too, and we have 6 minutes left only. Can you imagine?
We'll do Johnny Appleseed another day.
Well, hold on. Let's.
But with that guy with the tomato plants, I'm glad he's interested in it. And some of you that have never grown one in your garden... And eaten a tomato from that plant, especially when it's sun-ripened and it's still warm when you pick it off, you won't believe the flavor.
Ooh.
It's a totally different flavor than what you would buy in the store. Totally different. And it's totally different in nutrients.
Right.
It's much, much higher nutrient level in it than what you would buy in the store. Yeah, let's take a call, Dan.
All right. Hi, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Bob? Whoa, we waited too long.
Sorry.
That's all right. Hey, that's their loss. 368-WESB. All right, anything else? Here they are calling back.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Good.
Hi, you're on the gardening show. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, I do. I noticed the other night after that storm we had that there were bees were burrowing into the ground. Is there a different type of bee that does that? I thought they all built their hives above ground.
No, there are ground bees, too, and they're pretty important. I'm later in the season, I'm going to talk about ground bees, but yes, there are ground bees, and then there are nesting bees. There's several different kinds of bees.
So it's not just because of the storm?
Not just because of the storm.
I was just curious. I happened to notice that.
Yeah.
They probably got flooded out.
Mm.
So they're maybe cleaning their houses out because some of the soil may have got washed in or debris. So they're doing a little house cleaning. But, yeah, there's several types of ground bees.
Well, I never realized that.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for the call. Have a great day.
So the earliest settlers in America brought... grafted old world apples with them, but found they did not fare well in the harsh winter conditions in America because it's quite a bit different than what we would have in Europe. And they were killed off the first year, and others lost their blossoms with late spring frost. Now, I want to talk about the grafted. What that is where you take one piece of a plant and graft it or
Frankenstein it.
Yeah.
Put
it onto another piece of plant.
Man.
And this goes back. The Chinese invented this over 2,000 years ago.
That's some mad scientist stuff right there.
Yeah, it is. It is. And in that way, why they do that, and most apple trees you buy today are going to be grafted apple trees. You're going to see a swollen area right about the ground level where they've taken a root system that is hardy to our winters and acceptable to our many different soil types. Then they will graft the top part of an apple tree, branch, a stem, to that root system. And it will mend together, and that will become the apple tree.
Wow.
Now, there's other reasons for it, too, is they can develop a root system which will not let an apple tree grow like a wild one will, 30, 40 foot tall. No one wants one that tall because you can't pick those apples that high. So there's what we call a lot of dwarf stock, dwarf root systems that keep that apple tree from growing too tall.
Now, once you do that, the grafting,
yeah,
can you plant? Do they bear seeds that would produce that same tree, or do you have to graft every one of them?
Yeah, you have to graft every one.
So you're not creating a new species of tree.
And that's, I'm glad you brought that up too, because apple tree seeds or apple seeds have such a big gene pool. It's called heterozygosity.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, it's difficult for me to say. They're like humans. In other words, that the child never looks exactly like the parent,
mm-hmm.
and the apples are the same way. And they have a huge, huge gene pool, as big as we do, because they've traveled the whole world by man taking them around, and so the apple seed will never come true to the parent, and most of the time. It's not even an edible one, so that's why we graft.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Who wants an unedible apple?
America did.
I know. All right. We have, I was going to say we're going to have another call, but they hung up again. But you know what, Bob?
Yeah.
We're out of time.
Geez, I still got a lot to say, Dan.
Well, you know what? if you want to do an after show on just for Facebook Live, you can.
I'll take care of it next week.
Okay. Oh, you're going to be back next week?
Yeah.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
All right. The Gardening Show. It's brought to us by Worth W. Smith Hardware. Thanks so much for coming in once again, Master Gardener Bob
You're
Harris.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you next week on The Gardening Show on WESB, B107.5 FM.